to the club because you're that kind of nerd.
Hello and welcome to the club that is that kind of nerd. I am your host, CJ Mellon, and I am joined by Josh Burns and Brian Thornton.
What up?
Yeah, hey, I'm sorry.
Brian spaced out there.
I did, actually. I was looking at something. I couldn't even think of anything funny to do. That's my bad.
All right, well, this is a show where we talk about the nerdy things that we're passionate about, and then we judge each other on what we bring to the table. And this week, I will be the judge, jury, and executioner. Since we are in this new format, it's very simple. The gentleman here will talk during the topic or after the topic. I'll be awarding points. The person with the most points wins the game. And what do you win, ladies and gentlemen? To host next week. Since I somehow figured out a way to break the system and kick Brian's dick in the dirt last week, I figured that it would only be appropriate to give the man a shot of redemption. So, Brian, you are going first this week. What do you got, my good friend?
What if I don't want to go first?
Well,
what if you trying to graciously do me a favor actually screws me up? Why don't I get to choose who goes first if you're going to be so gracious?
You're not the host.
I'm let me double check the I am the host. Yeah, that's me.
Because he kicked your dick in the dirt.
So lame. I get to do that. That's the best part about this.
Very lame.
I don't know. I just explained the show format. I don't know if you were listening at that point. I'm in charge. Look at me. He's the captain now.
I was scrolling through my phone this morning, as one does, and I came across on TikTok this beautiful sight. I don't know if you've ever come across this person on TikTok. They are the username Sasquatch. It is a person in a Sasquatch suit who plays saxophone, hence Sasquatch. And it is one of the weirdest, most glorious things I've ever seen. And I am sending this to you because I need more different TikTok things to watch. So you, by all means, bring out your phones, take a look at some of your TikTok follows that you have. I'm looking for TikTok suggestions because my TikTok feed needs to be cleaned up a little bit. There's too much thirst traps. There's too much politics. I just want fun, Sasquatchy things. That is my topic for today, gentlemen. So what recommendations do you have for me?
Well, that is a good question. I'm going to, I'll open up right now and I'll, do you follow any foodstuffs? Do you want to follow any foodstuffs?
I do follow a couple foodstuffs. In fact, some of those foodstuffs you have recommended to me in the past.
I have.
I'm going to start off with how much pop culture do you have? Do you have enough pop culture stuff? Do you have enough comic book, movie, TV stuff?
I never have enough of that stuff.
Okay, so
what do you got?
Pop culture brain is a good one.
Culture brain?
Pop culture
I'm
brain.
Looking these up as we go.
It's got good interviews and just good little clips, stuff from press junkets that is pretty good.
Okay. I think these people, I don't follow them, but I think they've come up a couple of times on my...
It's obviously not as good as what's the guy's name? The interviewer that we all think is phenomenal. What's his name? The name of like a character.
I don't remember off the top of my
head. I'll find it on my list. Do you like Linus Tech Tips at all? You ever heard of Linus Tech Tips?
I've not heard of
LTT,
Linus
very,
Tech
I mean, prolific YouTuber. They have a kind of off-the-wall podcast tech show called The WAN Show, W-A-N, The WAN Show.
Okay. I'm looking at Linus Tech Tips right now. Okay. Yeah, the text that this is a little bit more up your alley. Like, I don't give a crap about this HDMI cable having whatever that, a pizza cutter on the end of it, it looks like. I don't know.
SB power washing and SB mowing,
yeah.
Must follows.
Why would you say it's a must follow?
Those are the most relaxing videos.
Okay, Brian, these are sped up, like time-lapse videos of lawn mowing and power washing.
Okay, all right.
So if, listen.
Really, that's what does it for you?
Since I can't use Reddit for oddly satisfying, SB mowing, SB pressure washing, get my satisfying.
I actually probably would like this. I follow an account. I don't ask me what it is. I don't remember. Where they clean the rugs, and that's all there is just here's this rug that looks terrible.
I enjoy that. My oddly satisfying is zero Beam NG. So Z E R O, right? Space. B E A M N G. It's computer generated videos of vehicles slamming into walls and other objects at varying speeds.
Okay. Oh, yes, please.
It's right. Very, very cool.
I'm looking at it now. I like it. I like it. Zero Beam NG.
Yeah.
This one is a bus that they filled with a bunch of people and just drove it into like a giant pothole almost.
Yeah. And they'll do it at like 200 miles an hour and you'll see like the entire chassis shear away from. Yeah, it's great.
Nice.
By the way, it's Kevin McCarthy TV. That's Kevin McCarthy, gentleman who does the best. He's a
great interviewer.
How about Brian, are you like do you watch like the Excel tips and tricks, like any of that stuff? Do you need that stuff?
They have graced my page, and I hate Excel so much, but okay. I probably should watch them.
I send most of those to Brian directly.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
CJ's my source for those.
I've got like five or six of those that I follow.
Because CJ and I work together, so like he knows when I have complaints about Excel, and then he's like, hey, here's this TikTok that would have solved your problem last week.
There's an Australian dude who does fantastic, odd TikToks on historical facts and history. It's called MS Loan 98. This guy,
98, okay.
Yes, the number's 98. MS Loan 98. Weird random things happening through history, sometimes current events, but also just like historical events that you've never heard of. And he does them in a very just kind of funny, simplistic, easy way that kind of makes
little sketches done in front of his apartment wall.
It's super minimalistic but very effective, and he's very good on the history and the facts.
Okay.
Notorious foodie. Yep.
This sounds like something I could get behind. Notorious Foodie.
So this guy.
I have not. Okay, I'm going to follow this guy. I have not followed this guy, but I follow Chef Reacts.
And yeah, so Chef Reacts always has. Yeah, it's between like Amari Guishan and Notorious Foodie, right? He's got a lot of those. But
yeah,
follow Notorious Foodie. His stuff is awesome. The recipes are on Instagram. A lot of this stuff. And like he takes, his technique is amazing. He takes incredible care putting the stuff together, but a lot of the stuff is not difficult to make.
It doesn't look, I'm looking at these bacon pancakes right now and I want them so bad.
So a fun one for me that always manages to have like cool little life hacks and convenient things is, what? No way.
Yeah, I love that guy.
What? No way. Fuck's sake.
It's so good.
Okay.
And so it's what? N-O-O-O-W-A-A-A-Y. What? No way. Fuck's sake.
So good.
So it's one of those guys just testing out these life hacks.
It's like that dude who goes, guess what? You know what you should have known before I was in my 30s? But then like this guy, you don't know that one? Them.
Yeah, no, I know that one. He's become so big, he now does Walmart ads.
But the one No Way guy is great because you're just like, no way that works. And he's just like, I'm already there, bro. Just let me.
What?
God damn it.
No way. Fuck's sake. Every I could watch it for an hour.
Okay. All right. I like this. Give me more.
I'm not big on dance talk, right? I don't need to see all the trends in TikTok stuff. However, there is one dude who does it usually with like movies and music videos and stuff like that, or actors and actresses. His name is Nathan Lust. Nathan Lust.
Okay.
And he's got really good ones sometimes where, and I've sent you one or two before, and I doubt you've...
I've not followed them.
Gave them great things, but he's got one for like, he does the whole Pitch Perfect dance to I Saw the Sign. Like, everything's very well choreographed.
Okay.
And it's just silly. But Nathan...
Dance moves you should learn featuring Spider-Man, okay?
Yes. Stuff like that. Really funny stuff.
He just immediately went into the bully Maguire.
It's so good.
All right.
He does a clip of the thing and then he cuts to him doing the choreography.
Gotcha. All right. What else? Anything else?
Yes.
Josh, gimme.
I've got 5,000. Like I follow
535. So 503. And I'm like,
I do follow Anthony Jeselnik.
Mechanically inclined, spelled with a EYE in inclined, like mechanically inclined.
Gotcha.
Follow that.
How to snake a shower drain. Oh, is this going to help me fix my house?
House stuff, man. House stuff.
Yes.
All right. You know what? I got to write some of these.
For a moment, knowing that I am not the host and I cannot lose points, but knowing that I am the host and you could lose points, there are a bunch of spinoffs of Roll for Sandwich, right? Which I'm sure you're following.
I love Roll for Sandwich.
Adventures in Ardia? Is that his name?
Adventures in Arcadia.
Arcadia. Great dude, right? Love the concept. Just, hey, throw a bunch of die, figure out what kind of sandwich you're going to make. Now, I have suggested a few spinoffs, and to which I said, I love Roll for Pizza, and you're like, I don't care for Roll for Pizza.
I don't care for Roll for Barbecue. So,
okay.
I tolerate which is the other one Roll I like. For Cereal, because I love
hate
cereal.
For cereal. It's so dumb. So you tell me, though, what are the ones of Roll for Blank that
None.
You like?
None. None.
I know Josh would know.
I've only seen Roll for Barbecue and Roll for Pizza. I follow Roll for Cereal.
I'm going to get this back on track. Are you following Keith Lee?
I do follow Keith Lee. Right. Yes.
I'm making sure.
Love me some Keith Lee.
Dave Portnoy, too, for the One Bite Pizza reviews. They're fantastic. Fuck Dave Portnoy, but his pizza review, it's always great.
Patrick Hicks Music Stories.
Patrick Hicks. Is that H-I-C-K-I-S?
S, yeah. Music Stories, yeah.
Music Stories.
This guy would be like, so once upon a time, and he tells all these stories that are, you would never have known these stories. It's about artists that you know and love and have listened to for a long time, and it's always super interesting.
Okay, I like it. He has a very knowledgeable beard. He seems like he knows his stuff.
Yes, he does.
What else you got?
Cult Flav. It's reviews, kitchen, like food reviews, product reviews. Like it's this husband and wife duo. They've got about 250,000 followers.
Okay.
And, you know, they're home cooks, but they're always reviewing, like they will review an entire category of products and give you like from bougie to super affordable. And then they rate them based on, you know, obviously their usability, but also like, you know, ergonomic, the weight, all that kind of stuff. So it's absolutely worth a follow.
What's the guy who plays the piano, makes the really stupid, silly songs and stuff and just skits with the piano playing? I'm trying to find this guy.
I asked you for the suggestions. I don't know.
I know Josh is going to roll his eyes, and if I was not hosting, I'd be losing points. And Harry Mack, official Harry Mack, I think his freestyles are fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I love Harry Mack.
I actually follow Harry Mack already.
Corey B.
The Corey with an I or a Y.
The Corey B is the with a EY. He's got 10 million followers. I love this dude. Love, love, love this guy.
Oh, he's come across my For You page once or twice.
Gotta follow him.
Okay. All right.
Pete Gustin is the blind surfer, but he's also the guy who does a lot of the voiceover work for like Fox and ABC and stuff like that. And he's got a good, interesting read, not only on the industry, but like, hey, I do voiceovers blind. Do you want to talk about weird experiences? This will do it. And then you'll hear his voice for promos. You're like, oh, I know that. Hey, I know the voice.
Lagom Chef, L-A-G-O-M Chef. This British guy in his kitchen who's great and he's hilarious and he's down to earth and he's awesome.
He's wearing carrots in his profile picture. Sold.
Fire Department Chronicles. If you follow this guy, he's at
Department Chronicles.
Yeah, it's like real things or weird things that happen to him as an EMT or as a firefighter responding to calls. But his skits are very well produced. Like he plays all the parts and they're very well produced.
Okie dokie.
Do you like saxophone content?
I like Sax Squatch.
Follow Karsten Belt, K-A-R-S-T-E-N Belt. It's a 22-year-old sax player from the Netherlands. He basically adds a sax solo to everything. He's really good. Oh, Shameless L. You follow Shameless L, right?
It does not ring a bell. Hang on. Shameless L. Why is it not popping up? Did I not spell Shameless correctly?
At Shameless L, E-L-L-E. She's got 750,000 followers at this point. She's phenomenal.
I do not follow her.
Gotta follow her.
What does she do, Josh? Just skits? Blogs?
I mean, she does a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of talking. But she will do this awkward, innuendo-filled kind of watching videos. It's just, I don't know. She's funny, and I like it.
I just put one into the chat with the last part I'm going to butcher, but like I think it's like Bassfacher. I can't pronounce. I think the guy is German. Where he does these weird mashups, but he plays like all the instruments.
Yeah. That's yes. Love mashups. In the same spirit, but opposite, is There I Ruined It.
Yes.
I love There
love
I Ruined
there
It.
There I Ruined It. So good.
What are they ruining?
Everything. And like they'll take a song. Jesus. I'm trying to like, oh, Elvis Presley sings Baby Got Back.
Correct. Or they'll mash together. Oh God. It's weird. Things that you
chop together. System of a Down Chop Suey, but everything is table.
Oh, Bike Dasher. This guy is out in LA doing really well produced DoorDash orders, but he's on his bike and he goes through LA, picks up the orders and stuff.
So I'm noticing a theme here. CJ follows things that are very well produced and Josh follows good things.
No, I'm joking. I'm in the same bank as Josh. I got 500 things I follow and I don't know. I couldn't pick half of these people out of a lineup until I saw their video. So I'm looking through thumbnails. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck this is. Am I following this asshole? And then I look at the video like, oh, I like that.
Follow Not Connor Again.
Not Connor Again?
Yeah. So this guy will do these one-up videos. Sometimes they're like pop culture appropriate, and sometimes they're just him being an asshole. But it's great.
Okay.
Daniel Thrasher, that's the guy who does the comedy bits with piano and songs.
Obviously, you follow It's Evan Williams, right?
It sounds familiar.
And we're going to make some fucking money.
Yes. I follow It's Evan Williams, yes.
All right, this one's stupid, but hear me out. Big Daddy D. Murph, right, is this guy who goes up to his wife, whose name is Laura, and Laura has a terrible gag reflex.
Oh, love it.
And she's like, no. I don't want to.
I have one of those. Is it Laura? Is that the one? She's this like
tiny woman,
4'11" Italian woman. Yes,
exactly.
Follow this. That. Yeah, it's good because she can't. He'll just start
for the
talking.
Kids, Laura. For the kids.
Yeah, and she'll go don't, and she'll start dry heaving. It's so great.
It's so good.
It's just his wife dry heaving.
Oh, you got to watch. Just watch a video. Watch a TikTok and tell me it's not hilarious.
All right, hang tight. Let me watch one of these to see what the obsession is. Here's one of her climbing a rock wall.
Laura.
Yeah.
I know it's a bad time, but yeah. Look at me.
See?
So dumb, I love it.
I can watch it all day.
I've gone back to the back catalog just to make sure I liked everything. I'm like, right. I always want this to be on the top of my algorithm.
This poor woman's at the top of a rock wall.
There's times where like she's like getting her nails done, she's grooming the dog. Like it doesn't fucking matter. He'll just come out of the woodwork.
Oh, like, hey, it's Laura. Great. There
it is. Like, yeah, he's like 6'1" and she's like 4'11". It's hilarious to watch.
Yeah, on the steps of a church. Before
they were
a wedding.
At a wedding once?
Yeah. Yeah. Ryu Car. You follow Ryu Car, right? R-Y-U-K-A-H-R.
R-Y-U-K-A-H-R. Oh, this looks familiar.
He does the Mary Hours. He does the speed runs. He does the...
Oh, he's shown up on my live feed a couple times.
Yeah. You gotta follow him. You gotta watch him. Like, I could watch this guy play for hours.
Got it. All right.
Game Changer. The Game Changer show is
Game
the...
Changer is fantastic. Game Changer from Dropout TV. Same thing with Actually. Yes.
There's a couple. Game Changer 42X. Nope. Game Changer.
Oh, there are Game Changer fans.
It's Game Changer Show.
From Dropout TV.
Game Changer Show.
I'm pretty sure I follow them.
Sam Wright. Yep.
I follow them. I tried to follow all the Dropout TV stuff because I should just get Dropout TV.
I had it for a few weeks. It was pretty good.
Because everything I've seen from their TikTok, I'm like, this is funny shit. Like, this is funnier than some sitcoms. Continue. How much is Dropout TV? And can we share a login?
I would normally say yeah, but like it's such a small shop that I feel real bad about password sharing a tiny service like that.
Justin Danger Nunley.
Justin Danger Nunley. Like Nunley. What?
Justin underscore Danger underscore Nunley. CJ, he's got 6.3 million followers. I don't want to hear it.
No, that's just a name that just tickled me.
Justin Danger.
He goes, Nunley. Listen. And he gives you like a, listen, did you know?
Oh, that guy who will interrupt stitches or stuff like
yes,
that? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Again, I don't know anyone's name on this goddamn app. I just know the thing they do. So unless you're going to scroll around my following or FYP page, I'm not going to get much out of it.
All right. Well, I've got a pretty good list. Josh, you have any more to add to this?
Yes. Just calm down. Okay. I'm not done. B. Dylan Hollis. B. Dylan Hollis. Lime Jello Fudge from 59.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Why,
again,
gotta follow him.
Weird, wacky recipes like this are from the 1950s. And look
tremendous,
what
tremendous following. He's entertaining. His lives are great. He's funny. And he'll tell you if what he made is dog shit. He'll be like, this is not good.
A tobacco leaf with pudding inside of it. Let's go.
Right. Yeah, he's really great. I like him very much. This is a music thing, but I like it. Tracklib, it's all about samples, all about breaking down samples.
That's up my alley, but I'll write it down and give it a check.
It's a meme.
The guy looks like Pete Davidson.
Parker James. Parker underscore James. Does this character that I absolutely love. It's hilarious. It's a little cartoony and it's fun and it's great.
Oh, hidden movie details. Also, that guy. Did you know that guy?
Matt Rife. You follow Matt Rife, right? I mean,
Let's look him up and find out if I do.
Everybody should follow Matt Rife.
I don't follow him, but he's definitely come up on my For You page several times. That's the other thing I want to get away from, though. Like, my For You page has become a bunch of stand-up comedy,
okay,
a bunch of
that's fair
political stuff, and a bunch of thirst traps. And, like, I don't know. Like, I think it's just, you know, default check mark on all the thirst traps. I don't think I'll ever escape those, but... But the other stuff, like I'd like to fill it with interesting and fun things. And like I went through and unfollowed a bunch of people to try and clean my page up a little bit. That seems to have worked, but I'm looking for more.
Yeah, I have Elise Myers.
I follow Elise Myers. She's great. Was it Matt Rife that just did this movie with Jamie Kennedy where one of them is a vampire and they're stand-up comedians?
I doubt it.
I think so, actually.
Reb Mazel, she is the woman who will read court transcriptions. Very dry and funny.
Yeah, I follow her.
All right, well, that is... Listen, if you haven't gotten enough TikTok suggestions out of this one, just message Josh privately. He'll gladly give you...
Most certainly. Josh has got more. Josh, I would love it if you could text me whatever else you've got.
All right, so now that you got enough TikTok followers, I do want to award two quick points. Which is 5 points to Brian for that Sasquatch video that you sent was actually playing a John Mayer song, whether you meant to or not. 5 points for accidental John Mayer or for playing me like a fiddle. You get the points for doing that. Josh, 3 points for the enthusiasm and the jinx on there. I ruined it and explained it better than I ever could. So 3 points to you for that one. All right, Brian, what else?
But what I will say is since I know... That didn't yield a ton of discussion. I have one more thing to talk about, and then we will segue into whatever other discussions you want to have. But this is timely. Superman and Lois Lane got cast, and it was announced, 3 days ago? 2 or 3 days ago? We have our Superman and our Lois Lane for the new DCEU headed up by James Gunn. And Superman will be played by... a gentleman named David Korenswetz.
So I looked at him and I was like, I've seen this guy, but I
Me
can't
too.
Remember. And then I remembered he was in the show or the series Hollywood.
Yes.
And he was very good.
He was good. That show was forgettable, which is why I was like, I know
Correct.
This. Like, but yeah, same thing. We'll talk about him more in a second, but I also want to make sure we mention Lois Lane also got cast. Miss mm-hmm. Maisel herself, Rachel Brosnahan, I think is the way you pronounce that.
Yeah, she's great.
There's a random Phenomenal. N in there somewhere. I love her. So I don't have much to say about her because I think it's perfect. I don't think you could get a better Lois Lane. Not only did, like, just do Miss Maisel, just modern, right? And good. But yeah, David Korenswetz. My initial reaction was... I don't know him, and that's probably a good thing. But yep. I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are on this casting news. And, because there's all sorts of think pieces, you know how people like to think, the timing and the way they announced this news. What are your thoughts on that overall?
What was the way they announced it? Because I just saw it randomly on TikTok.
They announced it, big, you know, not a huge to-do, not a huge affair, but they made sure to, the timing is the most, is the biggest thing. Because they released
it. Distract from the Flash.
Distract from the failure that the Flash is.
Yes.
We just found our new Superman.
Right.
Curious about your thoughts about the casting and kind of when we're announcing this. And does it mean anything? Does it mean nothing? I mean.
It just means James Gunn has been very on the record saying the Flash isn't part of his vision, his project of DC. And it's not doing well. And now he's the co-CEO. And he goes, should probably make us look good for a moment, right? Okay, here you go.
He's also been on the record saying The Flash is one of the greatest superhero movies.
Of course he is. He has to.
I get that. I get that he has to. But still, I mean, I don't know. I think DC is...
Here's the thing. Moving forward with James Gunn, especially when it comes to anything about DC... You cannot take his opinion on, like, oh, I wasn't involved with this project and here's my thought on it with any fact that he is completely biased now, right? And that it has to be one way, right? He can give his opinion on other movie directors and other projects that have nothing to do with Warner Brothers and DC, and I will take that into consideration. But now that he's an executive, like, he's an executive. He's a suit. I can't listen to him defend any project that's connected to his work because he has to defend it. He has to say it's great. He has to say go see it. That is literally his damn job right now. I think that they were just clearly seeing the writing on the wall of what was going on with The Flash from the fans' perspective as well as from just the critical acclaim, the box office numbers, and was like, let's distract people with it. And, you know, whatever. So it's just like they're playing the game.
And it kind of worked.
Yeah, playing the game. I mean,
is this guy, I mean, like, you think he looks like a good Clark Kent Superman? So they cast him. Like, I don't, I've seen him in stuff. He's fine. But like the three actors rumored to be replacing Eisenberg as Lex Luthor are all much bigger actors, much bigger. Okay. Listen, there's two Skars. There's two Skarsgards, and a Holt, rumored to be replacing as Lex Luthor.
Two Skarsgards and a Holt.
And like, that's a lot of lightning on the bottom of the ticket. You know what I'm saying? Like there's,
I will argue, listen, big name. I don't think that matters, especially for Superman. And I will argue that, I mean, how really well known was Christopher Reeve?
Before? No, I know, I get it. I guess where I'm at is, like, does James Gunn think he's being cute? Do they, like, is he being cute? Is it like, oh, I found the next Christopher Reeve type, like, or?
No, I think he is.
Wait, or what? Hold on, or what?
Or what? Or, like, is he simply casting because this guy looks like, he looks like the Superman.
He looks like you would pick him out of committee.
Brandon Routh, the guy that's on the CW. He looks like the people were casting as Superman, but he's not jacked like Henry Cavill.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I've heard James Gunn talk about his relationship for the character of Superman, I don't see this as, oh, he also looks the part. Like the person who got this role, right? The person that was auditioning, the process for this had to pass probably all the criteria for Gunn. Not only just, hey, does he look like someone who could be a Superman, but like, do they care? Can they carry themselves this way? Do they have the ability to? He's very protective of Superman, as he should be. That I have confidence in this casting is not some kind of just like, well, it kind of looks like it, and I guess we could throw him into the gym for a little bit.
What do you have to be to pass? Like, are you saying that this guy is like a hopeless idealist, and like that's why he's Superman? Like, I don't understand what you're saying.
I think that's the point, right? I think he plays. Obviously, he's probably not. I think he plays the hopeless idealist well, and I think when it comes to Superman, that's probably the most difficult part of playing Superman is being borderline naive, but not stupid. You know, like being pure. It's the same. It's the same conundrum you ran into when casting Captain America, because he's supposed to be this. I believe in a better world and a better future, and I believe that humanity is capable of this, but also not be an idiot. Because most of the time, especially in entertainment, those people are looked at like, oh, you're a moron. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think he does it well, and I only have Hollywood to go by, where he played a vet who was kind of trying to make it into Hollywood, right? But I don't know. I don't know what the criteria is. I think he looks the part. I think what I've seen in Hollywood shows that idyllic part of Superman that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
There's the scene with Christopher Reeve when he is Clark and Lois is like, you're Superman. He's like, that's ridiculous. And she gets out the gun, right? And then she shoots. And of course, he catches the bullet. And then you see him change the posture, right? Mm-hmm. To do the upright. You can see Christopher Reeve's physical change of hunched over Clark Kent, I'm nothing, to this postured Superman. And from the clips that I've seen, not only just from Hollywood from remembering that, but also people have been obviously posting selective clips, though, of his other performances, he's got the ability to turn that on and off, right? That he's got the ability to present himself in multiple ways. And again, it comes across as genuine versus that guy's acting.
I think Josh's concern or point is, if he is that good, then why isn't he bigger?
So here's the thing. You're CJ, what you're basically referencing, like a Quentin Tarantino line from Kill Bill, right? Like Clark Kent is Superman's critique of the human race. That's what you just talked about. And that's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
What I'm talking about, and what Brian kind of mentioned, the naivete that is not just Clark Kent, but is Kal-El, essentially, right? The only time we've really seen that used properly in the movies is when he fooled Zod and, you know, got Zod to take his own powers away, right? Superman 2. That's the only time we've ever seen that. Really, right. Seen it. And so, like, I hate to even compare it to the Christopher Reeve story, but like that's, I think you have to, right? Yep. I think you're not, you know, if you're going to put somebody up for
this
the role,
this is a big enough role. It's got the legacy.
Listen, if you're going to put somebody up for the role of Apollo Creed's kid, he's got to be able to live up to the Rocky legacy. I guess I hate to draw that parallel, but it's the only one I've got.
That's right.
So that's kind of, I don't know about this guy. I've seen him. So I do recall seeing him in We Own This City. He played a relatively important role in We Own This City, which is a story that's kind of near and dear to my heart. But it's
he was in that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was one of the guys that they kind of uncovered this whole thing.
That's right. Okay.
And look, I think he's fine. I think he's fine. I just don't. I'm looking at against the backdrop of potentially, you know, best case scenario for him is Alexander Skarsgård. And worst case scenario for him is probably Bill Skarsgård. I'm serious. Bill Skarsgård is Lex Luthor, fuck. I'm going to be way more interested in Lex Luthor.
Yeah, I do like your, at one point for your West Wing reference of too much thunder on the bottom of the ticket.
Right. Lightning, sorry.
I get what you're saying. I guess you're right. And then the rest of it comes down to what Gunn does.
Well, I mean, we know what Gunn's doing. He's doing the Superman legacy story. Like, we know what the direction is. I haven't read that story recently, so I can't sit here and recollect it. But what I will say is, here's the way I picture this. Either he's close enough, and we're going to surround him with heavy hitters. We've got Rachel Brosnahan, who is amazing.
Sure.
We've got a possible Skarsgård or Holt, right? Who are all really good. And maybe the plan is, okay, this guy is close and the rest of the cast will elevate him. Or maybe he is just that good. We just haven't gotten a chance to see what he's capable of, you know?
Who's going
to
be Martha? Why'd you say that name?
Pivotal Martha.
Why'd you say that name?
I know.
That's my thoughts on this. Christian was all about this. Christian was talking to me about it the other. I'm just like,
well, as much as I love you and your family, Christian is looking at this like, oh, he looks like Superman. So this is great.
No. That's not. He's not.
He's a Burns. He doesn't take that kind of.
Yeah, not at all. I don't think that that's. He was just like, who the fuck is David Cornsweet? And yeah, I mean,
also.
He's 16, so he is cursing a little too much, I think. But
that last name, that poor kid.
But you know, that's kind of, and I was like, all right, I don't care. Who's Lex Luthor? And he's like, these three. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't. Well, they need a better Superman.
I guess you are right that if Lex goes too heavy, and this guy can't measure up to that presence, that's a problem. But that's James Gunn's problem. That like he's.
It's not James Gunn's problem. It's who's the writer? Who's the director?
James Gunn. Writing and directing.
James Gunn is writing.
He's writing and directing.
He's writing and directing it. It's James Gunn's
problem. That's a real problem.
That's what I'm saying.
This is his baby.
No, right, great. But what else? How many other movies do they have in the works? Here's the problem. Here's the problem.
No, I promise you, this is the one thing that's. It has to be right. It has to. And the only person who could answer to that is Gunn.
So to CJ's point, I think even though there are a couple projects before this movie coming out with Creature Commandos, I think the Amanda Waller show is coming out before then. Technically, Blue Beetle, I believe, is supposed to be still involved in this. Even though there's a couple projects coming out, this is the Iron Man. This is supposed to be, this is where we build our universe. And Gunn recognizes that. He realizes that, which is part of the reason why I think he's like, I'm writing this. I'm directing this. This is going to be my baby. He's involved in everything else.
You think?
As far as he is, based on all the interviews, the way he describes it is as far as, hey, here's the script, Gunn. And he goes, take this out, add this. Then he does the Kevin Feige thing, right? He is, from the interview that I listened to, he describes his role as, I am the creative part of it. And Peter, I think his name is
Peter. Yep.
He's the business side of things.
That's
he's
what
the guy
I said.
Who worries yes. about the yes. marketing. He's the guy who worries about the budget. He's the guy who worries about that kind of stuff. I'm the creative thing. So I'm the guy who looks at the script and says, you can't do these three things. That's not in the character. You should add this because we're planning on doing this in 2 years. He's going to be kind of helming that. So even though his name's not on the script, he's influencing all the projects, but this one, he's like, this is me through and through. He's taking the reins on all of it.
Yeah. By the way, the interview that Brian's referencing is from Michael Rosenbaum's podcast, which, by the way, Michael Rosenbaum is a terrible interviewer. It's a terrible interview. But when James Gunn gets to speak, it's great. Everything James said really just assuaged a lot of my fears. Well, 2 points to each of you for being a super fan of Superman.
A super fan of Superman. Gotcha.
Mr. Burns. I will turn my attention to you, sir.
Mine's going to keep. Mine will keep for another week. You had something that you wanted to talk about, and I'd much rather talk about that.
Okay, well then, I mean, that's going to end some points unless you guys got some really good stuff, because I don't think Brian's seen the other scene.
You can end the point. This is
where I lose it.
You can end the points here. I would much rather talk about the bear than another list that I'm angry about.
If that's the case, that's very true.
Wait, I love hearing the angry list.
I know, but the bear is so much better.
The bear is much better. All right, well, if that's the case, looking at the tally of the points, Josh, you with your super points got a total now of 6 points, and Brian with a total of 7. The John Mayer Woo-hoo! Saved your ass.
Nice, so
John Mayer.
John Mayer is what took you over there. So you will be the host next week. So let's talk about. So Brian gets to fuck off for the next like 10 to 15 minutes.
I do get to be pretty silent. So
season 2 of The Bear premiered, and within 3 or 4 days, I had watched the entire thing. This show is phenomenal. If you're not familiar with The Bear, I will let Josh give you the summary of The Bear, because from the title, you probably think it's one thing and it's another.
So it's a chef who is in the world of fine dining, a Michelin star chef who comes home to Chicago to run his family's sandwich shop after the passing of his brother. And there's all kinds of other, you know, kind of, you know, funny and cool and poignant and other things going on. But he is a Michelin star chef, comes back to the family's like Chicago Italian beef shop.
So he's trying to take the skills that he's learned in this Michelin star thing, kind of decompress, to be honest, because he was in a very harsh environment, as the Michelin star restaurant business is, and kind of ground it with his family. This second season, though, not only so heavy, but I like the approach that they took in how they were going to tell the story this season, which was they focused a little bit more of giving certain characters a full episode to give them a better arc. And to kind of let you into things that are going on beyond their personal life besides just what you see in the restaurant. Because the only time you really see the supporting cast is in the restaurant. And they weren't exactly fully fleshed characters. You knew them as chefs. And now you get to see these people outside of the kitchen. And I liked that approach. I really liked getting to know these characters as full, fleshed out, rounded characters. And then what happened outside of the kitchen being brought into the kitchen, having a little bit more meaning to it. So I like that because it wasn't Boomerang story. They did include what's happening in the restaurant in some of these episodes, but you really got to spotlight some of these individual supporting cast members.
Yeah, I want to make sure that for those who are unfamiliar with the Bear in general, season one was about this guy comes back and it's about getting this Italian beef shop operational. By the end of that season, like by the end of season one, as you can imagine, they've decided they want to go in a different direction and go fine dining. Season two is about getting like completely redoing this restaurant and a transformation. And so there's a lot that goes into that. And there's a lot that goes on with that. And CJ talked about, you know, different characters getting their own episodes and things. It was like a different focus, so to speak, but it was really, really good. And there's kind of, for me, there's a halfway point where there's all this buildup, right? And then there's a flashback episode.
Oh yeah.
That, look,
they changed the paradigm too. Every episode's half an hour. That episode was an hour plus.
Yeah. If you had a traumatic childhood, if you had, narcissistic parents with alcoholism or addiction issues, this is going to be very, very hard. It was very, very hard to watch, and it was tough, because look, I've had holidays like that, and it's just ugly. It's ugly. And that episode, which I felt like took me a week to get through, and I was like, why the fuck is this so long? And it was long. It needed to be, and it was done incredibly well. And that episode kind of, that marks the end of what we were looking at. Like, this is us before, and it goes into who we are now and who are we going to be.
Peace.
And man, I mean, just every episode that followed that, and to your CJ texted me us, the episode after that is called Forks, and it's when Ebon Bachrach's character Richie Jeremovich, cousin. It's when cousin goes and stages at a three-star Michelin restaurant. And it is positively a pivotal episode, not for just the character, but for the show. I dare you to watch this show, and there's a scene where kind of things click into place. I dare you not to be sitting there smiling ear to ear. It is difficult, like, and you won't even notice it, but all of a sudden you feel amazing.
Yep. I was watching this episode late at night. Jenny was sleeping. She wasn't into the Bear, and I'm watching Forks, and I'm like, oh my god, like I'm audibly going, oh my god, yes. And I get a text message, what the fuck are you doing? You woke me up. And I'm like, I'm sorry, this episode, I have rose-colored glasses on right now, and you know me, I'm very prone to the emotional response after, yep, I see something good. I'm watching this going, this may be in the top 10 of episodes of television I've ever watched. Up there with the Scrubs finale, up there with my lunch. I mean, yeah, it is some of the best television, that episode, that I have ever seen.
So today, to prepare for discussing this, I went back and I rewatched Forks, and then I went to the finale and just watched Richie. So I watched the expo scene and the chocolate banana. That's it. I watched those two things.
So good.
And, you know, look, I think you both know that I really like this actor. Brian, he played Micro in Punisher.
He was also in the John Adams miniseries, which is how I remember. It was Quincy Adams.
I really, really like this actor. And I was hating him. I was like, this scumbag, mm-hmm. right? This, you were just hating him. And the Christmas episode didn't help his cause.
Nope.
And then the very next episode, when you couldn't possibly feel worse about this guy, he's your favorite character. Like, how does he become your favorite character? Right. Yep. And in very much what Ted Lasso did with Jamie Tart over the course of a season.
They do in one episode.
One episode. I'm not that. I do live in the emotion of these shows, and I allow myself to get in there and feel all those things, and that's just kind of how I enjoy experiencing these. And so, I do tend to go a bit mercurial on these characters. However, I always have at least some perspective, and so I don't sway like that. Usually a move like this, CJ, would not.
This would backfire. You would bump against this entirely.
Completely.
Right? I've seen you do it.
And yes. Did they nail it? Did they ever nail it?
The thing that I really like about this is I obviously have no background in this industry in any way, shape, or form. And from the people that we do know that are in this industry are saying, first off, it's a true to life slice of life of what this actually is. Yep. So like it's authentic. But even without having the background, they'll pull you along the way and get you to where you need to know, right? Yeah. Where you need to go for this. But what's really great is, again, with this season, is they really took the time to flesh out the rest of the episode in Copenhagen, which, by the way, had a surprise, in my opinion, a surprise visit from the Eyebrows, the guy who plays Adam Warlock in the new Guardians movie. He was from We're the Millers, or I always forget his name. What's his name?
Oh, Poulter. Poulter. Will Poulter.
Will Poulter. Wonderful cameo in that episode and just a great thing. But they did such a great job of bringing you with these characters and really making everybody have some stakes. And at one point, you know, you're watching season two and you're like, well, Richie's going to get pushed out. He's going to the character voices that this is what's going to happen to me. You guys are going to outgrow me and I'm going to be pushed away. And you're watching the show going, oh, shit, it's going to come to fruition. Like, there's going to be the moment now where they're going to have to sit down and say, cousin, you just don't have this. You have to go, right? You just have to leave. And then the fact that it doesn't happen. And again, to your point, he then becomes your favorite character.
Right.
It is some of just really fantastic writing just to really make me care about this. And everything's beautifully shot, very well. There's no weak link in this cast. I really can't recommend this series enough. This second season nailed it. I don't know how you're going to top it with the third.
Well,
and to be honest, I think you need to stop after three. I think you're done after the next season.
I agree, and I think season three is going to be about redemption for Carmy, and hopefully, an exit from the bear
from this world.
And not maybe the world, but maybe he moves on to just doing the executive chef thing, the XO kind of like operating the places, but not in the shit. And he finds the talent. I mean, he found Sydney, worked with Sydney, right? I mean, I don't know. Like, should I know Christopher Storer? Should I know other stuff that he's done? Yeah, the creator of this.
I don't know. I'm looking it up now.
I'm looking him up right now. Not really. No, not really.
He was a producer for a couple things that I've seen.
Yeah. So no.
Wow. No, really, no. He's nailed it. And he's and Josh, you've been there a lot too. He's nailed the city of Chicago too.
Absolutely nailed it. Like nailed it.
It's incredible. Like even you know how like in most
it was
places,
the and the what I will say
situations you're just like, okay, that's not a real apartment, and then you're like, that's a real fucking Chicago apartment.
It's the show really is like it's a love note to Chicago, even in like the way
the
that they've
way.
Bob Odenkirk and John Mulaney and Sarah Paulson, and it's let's get people from here to cameo to take a role. Oliver Platt is spectacular, but Oliver Platt, you look at him, you're like, yeah, he's Chicago. He's right. That's it. Everybody should be watching this show.
So Brian, in 3.5 years, I can't wait to hear what your thoughts are. Yeah. On the Bear. No, you got a lot going on. I mean, I just can't sit down and watch hours of television on end.
Yeah, I just go to bed at a reasonable hour. That's what I have going on.
Well, there's your problem. Josh, he's going to outlive us, though. This is the bad part, is that he's actually getting sleep, so he's going
to
outlive us.
But then
we're
going to
die knowing that we watched season 3 of The Bear and all 8 seasons of The West Wing multiple times. Like,
that's right.
We're going to go down with that Xbox achievement on our heads. There was not. I'll say
you've
this
convinced
too.
Me. I really would like to watch this now, and I would love to try and fit
so
it in.
Good.
We'll see.
There's, I like the way you kind of mentioned that too, Josh. That there's a halfway tipping point of the season. I hadn't really picked up on that, but you're absolutely right. Of that theme of from Fishes, which is the hour long, holy crap, hang on to your hats episode.
Yep.
To going onward, it really is a. Here's who we were. Here's how we're going. Because there's still a lot of flaws with these characters. Still a lot of flaws going on with the people. Don't like the way Carm, treats Sydney this season. Don't like the way that he's in the zone. But I get it. Like, it's real. Like, I get it. I feel bad for the actress who plays Sydney because she has that kind of... The character has that kind of quality. And you start immediately associating it with the actress.
Right.
So there's people that have come up to her and be like, by the way, Sydney sucks. But you're great at it. And she's just like, thank you? I mean... compliment, I guess. Thank you. It's very good. Fantastic job. All right. Anything anyone has to add?
Josh gets all the points, therefore stealing the win away from me.
Josh, 100 points for watching The Bear season 2.
No,
and the
there
game.
Were no points. It's unfair. Brian, if you want to come back, probably sometime after Max graduates high school, we can discuss The Bear.
When he goes to culinary school and he has an interest in this, you'll want to pick this up.
Maxwell just turned 1, which hopefully means less sleepless nights in the future. We'll see.
Josh, when it's time,
it so far is not turning into my favor, but we'll see.
Josh, when it's time for you to rewatch this series, can we do that together? Just so I can text you while I'm watching episodes.
Yeah,
you can like live tweet it. To each other.
Same thing with you, Brian. In 2055, send me a hologram head.
I am looking forward to when I text you in like a week saying, "Get up, bitch! We're watching The Bear." It's like 3 a.m.
Absolute fucking game on, game on, man! I'll do it. All right. Well, thank you so much, listener, for making us your walk around your neighborhood, your walk around the kitchen, you doing your sous vide or doing your mise en place. We will get to you next episode. Thank you so much for listening.
Well, welcome to the club, because you are that kind of nerd.